Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I am Eric Garthy, and we are studying the book of Galatians, the uncorrupted gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 25, fruit of the Spirit. We are free from the law in our relationship with Jesus, but that freedom we have in Christ is not to be used to sin. Look at Galatians 5, verses 13 to 15. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Christians tend to go to two extremes: to emphasize obedience in neglect of God's grace, or to emphasize freedom in neglect of God's law. And yet, there was grace under the law, and there is law under grace. Can a believer live a righteous life? Galatians 5:16 says we can. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The problem is two natures are present in every Christian. The Holy Spirit, who gives a new desire to please God, and the old nature, which is opposed to God and His plan for your life. Verses 17 and 18. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. It's a war of desires, a tug of war being waged in your soul. First, there are the lusts of the flesh. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This list that the apostle gives here, it contains four categories of sins, four different categories of sin. First, there's sexual sins. Adultery, which is sex by a married person or persons outside of the marriage union. Fornication, either premarital sex or sex by two who neither are married. Uncleanness, which is perversion. And lewdness, which is a sensuality. Lewdness or sensuality, it describes sexual activity that's out of control. Someone who's a slave to sexual impulses. It is unrestrained sexual indulgence without shame, without regard for consequences, and without concern for what others think. And then there's the second category of sins is religious sins. Idolatry. That's loving anything or anyone more than God. And sorcery, witchcraft, the occult. The statues of idolatry have been replaced in our day with money, houses, cars, success. It's interesting that the Greek pharmakia is translated sorcery, connecting drugs and the occult. The third group of sins is relationship sins, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murder. All of these are the result of attitudes. Wrong attitudes bring wrong words and wrong actions. And then there's addiction sins, drunkenness, revelries, it's called carousing, and the like. Revelries or carousing refers to, in the day, sexual orgies, usually pagan religious rites, which were often characterized by rowdy and crude behavior. There has always been a relationship between the abuse of drugs and alcohol, which lowers inhibition, and sexual immorality. It's always been. Do these sins cause a Christian to lose their salvation? Well, no. Nothing can cause a Christian to lose his salvation. But if they characterize the pattern of a life, maybe that person was never saved in the first place. Because righteousness characterizes salvation. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. And second, there's fruit of the Spirit. Look at verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Love, talking about sacrificial agape love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 is the ultimate expression of agape love. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Joy comes from trusting God. It's not dependent on outward circumstances, but the Spirit's presence. Peace, that's the mental result of a right relationship with God. Long-suffering, this relates to people, not circumstances. It's showing the same patience with those who hurt or irritate us, which God has toward us. And kindness, it is a genuine concern for the well-being of others. Goodness, expressing concern through meeting needs. Faithfulness, Spirit-led Christians are trustworthy and they're reliable. Gentleness, it's not weakness, but rather power under control. A controlled temper and self-control. The ability to control bodily appetites or desires. And notice there are three things here regarding the fruit of the Spirit. The word translated fruit is singular. So all these things that are listed as fruit of the Spirit should characterize a believer's life. And then second, fruit is produced by the Spirit, not by the flesh. So self-effort is ultimately futile. You can't just produce these. They're manifestations of the Spirit's presence. And third, the fruit of the Spirit is not the same as the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts are spiritual abilities. Fruit refers to expressions of character. Spiritual fruit is the normal produce of the Holy Spirit in us. Only by the Spirit and only in Christians. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I don't understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. A constant struggle between obeying God and falling into sin. The unbeliever is helpless, in need of Christ, needing the gospel. A Christian can walk in the Spirit and avoid sin, or give into the flesh and become prey to all kinds of sin. What is the solution to this internal struggle? Expecting the Spirit to overcome for us? Depending on our own strength? Well, no. These will both end in failure and more sin. A better solution is to be led by the Spirit. What do I mean by that? What is that? Being led by the Spirit means to acknowledge that there is a war raging within us. Realize that we are powerless to fight the war. Understand that the Holy Spirit is the source for gaining personal victory over sin. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells within us. Submit to His control. The Holy Spirit provides the desire and power to say no to sin. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. However, we choose whether to submit or not. In verses 24 and 25. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Sometimes a chicken with its head cut off will flop around for a minute or two, but the death blow has been dealt. Faith in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ dealt our sin nature the death blow. It still flops around here on earth, but one day in glory, it will be stopped. Still, even though we are under no obligation to obey our old nature, we have the Spirit in us. We have grace to obey and serve God. We are under no obligation to obey our old nature. You think about all that, and you have a great day.